We spent a few weeks thinking about baptism. Tonight, friends, we turn to the other sacrament, the Lord's Supper, which Jesus instituted for our regular spiritual nourishment. The sermon title tonight, A Supper for Our Spiritual Nourishment. And let's read the living and holy word of God. Matthew 26, starting at verse 17. This is God's word. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" Jesus said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you that I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The word of God from Matthew 26. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, babies are born, and then, of course, they need ongoing physical nourishment, and babies get that nourishment from their mothers. Well, the Bible tells us that we become children of God through regeneration, spiritual rebirth that comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we, children of God, must have spiritual nourishment, nourishment that will sustain us, nourishment that will help us grow as children of God. Well, friends, our Savior Jesus Christ has given us a sacrament that serves as a sign and seal for spiritual rebirth. It's baptism, right? And baptism is used to initiate people into the church, to initiate people into the life of Christian discipleship. It's an initiatory sacrament about rebirth. It's about entrance into the church and so forth. But of course, Jesus gave us a sacrament that serves as a sign and seal of spiritual nourishment as well. The Lord's Supper, which he uses not only to remind us of the saving work he accomplished for us, especially at the cross, but also it's a meal by which Jesus feeds us with himself. So our theme tonight, friends, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus not only reminds and assures us of our salvation through his sacrifice, but also feeds us with his very body and blood. Just like baptism, the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. It is not in the first place about what we are doing for Jesus. It's primarily about what he has done for our salvation, but also what he is now doing for our sanctification, for our growth. Yes, he gives us this meal for our spiritual nourishment. Matthew 26 shows us that our Lord instituted the supper during the Passover meal with his disciples. Really, he transformed the Passover into the Lord's Supper. The two meals, two covenant meals, function in very similar ways. Now think about this for a moment. The Passover reminded Israel of God's saving work in the Exodus. They became his covenant people because God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And that great work of rescue, that deliverance from Egypt, was also deliverance from his own wrath. In that last plague, the 10th plague, the angel struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, but God graciously spared the firstborn of Israel. His angel passed over their houses, which were marked with the blood of that lamb which died in their place. So, listen, the Israelites became God's covenant people through the death of a sacrificial substitute, a death that brought them the forgiveness of sins, by eating the Passover meal each year. Once a year, they have Passover. They were reminded of God's saving work, to be sure. That's the most basic thing. They're reminded of the Exodus, of Passover, right? They were assured of the forgiveness of sins as well. But they were also nourished with the Passover lamb. They fed on the sacrificial animal. Again, the Passover meal reminded Israel of salvation through a sacrifice, but also fed them with that sacrificial animal for their nourishment. Now think about the Lord's Supper. He indicates in Matthew 26 that the Lord's Supper functions in precisely the same way as Passover. For he, Jesus, is the true Passover lamb who would offer himself on the cross for our salvation. But notice, brothers and sisters, he gives us this new covenant meal not only to remind us of that one sacrifice on the cross, but also to assure us of the forgiveness of sins, which is ours through that sacrifice, and yes, something more, to feed us with himself, the true Passover lamb. For he says, "This is my body, eat it. This is my blood, drink it." Thereby promising to give us spiritual nourishment, true food for our souls. Dear saints, in this series, this mini-series of sermons on the Lord's Supper, I'm not going to say much in terms of how frequently we should have the supper, but this much has to be said. If the supper is his way not only of assuring us that we have the forgiveness of sins through his sacrifice, but it's also the way in which he actually feeds us with himself, we are obviously meant to enjoy this meal often. It is the supper for our spiritual nourishment. And we need regular spiritual nourishment. Jesus uses the Lord's Supper for our comfort, but for our growth as his people, because he feeds us with himself. Friends, my first point tonight, Jesus gives us bread and wine to remind us that at the cross he gave us his body and blood for our full salvation. You got to start with the basic things. So again, Jesus gives us bread and wine to remind us that at the cross he gave us his body and blood for our full salvation. In Matthew 26, the supper, it's very clear in our passage. Jesus gives the supper to his disciples, and it's not exactly reminding them of his death on the cross at that point, because it hasn't happened yet. But his death is soon to happen, and he makes that very clear in any number of ways. Right before Passover meal, he says, "My time has come." Well, what does that mean? Well, just a few verses later, he's about to be betrayed, and it's going to be a betrayal unto death. And in that death, his blood, as he says in the supper, during the supper, his blood will be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And of course, forgiveness results because this death that he's going to suffer in Jerusalem was ultimately under the wrath of God who struck our shepherd. And Jesus goes on to say that. We didn't read it before, but notice verse 31. Just after he had the supper with his disciples, he said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written," in Zechariah's prophecy, God says, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." So friends, in so many ways, Jesus makes it clear. He's just about to die. He is going to be crucified. And he instituted the supper as the means by which his disciples remember his sacrificial death. Now, Matthew's version does not have these words, but Jesus commanded his church, "Do this in remembrance of me." Have this meal in remembrance of me, particularly of his giving his life, his body and blood for us at the cross, right? He wanted us often to have the supper so that we would remember what he did for us there at the cross, to secure for us the forgiveness of sins because he paid the price. Notice from the Heidelberg Catechism number 75. How does the Holy Supper remind and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his benefits? In this way, he commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread, drink this cup in remembrance of him. With that command, Jesus gave us these promises. Now notice, first, answer 75 says, first, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, the cup shared with me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me, his blood poured out for me on the cross. Friends, what you find there in answer 75, at least in the first part of answer 75, is the simple teaching that the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of our salvation through the one sacrifice of Jesus. Bread and wine are given as signs to remind us of what he did on the cross, where he gave his body and blood for our salvation. But the supper is not just a sign that reminds, okay? A picture that teaches you things or reminds you of truths. It does that. But we speak of the sacraments as signs and seals. And so it's a sign. It does indeed take us back to the cross. It reminds us of what he did there for our salvation. But the supper is a seal. Through this meal, Jesus means to reassure us. Seals are meant to guarantee, right? It's reassurance that we believers have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life through his sacrificial death, just as surely as we eat the bread and drink of the wine. A sign to remind us, a seal to reassure us of salvation through his broken body and shed blood. Friends, we have to keep in mind that the Lord's Supper is our covenant meal. That Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant." The new covenant in which God promises to make us his people and to keep us always as his people, not on the basis of our good works, but solely through the work of his Son. The people of God we are through his grace in Jesus, who secured for us the forgiveness of our sins by his sacrifice on the cross. Praise God for that wonderful gospel meal that not only reminds us of salvation through his death, but reassures you believers, as truly as you get to taste that bread and drink that wine, you are to be assured he gave for you his body and blood at the cross 2,000 years ago and secured your full salvation by that one great work. That's the basic gospel that must come across in the supper so that we enjoy the assurance of salvation. When you're partaking of this meal, be sure to remember the Lord's suffering. After all, it was for your sins and mine that he suffered under God's wrath and died. But brothers and sisters, let's also be sure to seek comfort. Seek the assurance of salvation through the Lord's Supper. As you partake, pray that God would strengthen your faith in his gospel promise. The promise that he grants you full salvation, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, the work that he did, especially on the cross. Well, notice how the Heidelberg Catechism says that the supper is something more than a sign and seal of salvation through his sacrifice. And I'm still in number 75, but this is what it goes on to say secondly. The end of answer 75. Okay, so first, it's a sign and seal of salvation through his sacrifice. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves, you know, okay, at the table, so the minister or the elders or whatever, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves the supper and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, giving me a sure signs of his body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Brothers and sisters, listen, the Lord's Supper is not only about the fact that Jesus once gave his body and blood for us at the cross. The supper is also about the fact that Jesus still gives us his body and blood for true food and drink. My second point tonight, friends. Number two, Jesus gives us bread and wine to refresh us with his very body and blood for spiritual nourishment. It's a sign and seal of salvation through his sacrifice, right? And so by that sign and seal, he not only reminds us, but also reassures us of our salvation. But he also uses this meal to refresh us by feeding us with his very body and blood. Now, of course, some folks hear this and they think that we Reformed Christians are still Roman Catholic. But friends, we do not believe that the bread and wine turn into the body and blood of Christ. And we do not believe that we are physically eating the Lord in our mouths. At least I don't believe that. I don't think any of you believe that. You shouldn't. Because his body is at the right hand of the Father. We'll think on these things more next time, Lord willing. You don't have his body in your mouth. Nevertheless, as the Catechism tells us here in answer 75, Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper to feed us with more than bread and wine. Those are the elements we get in the mouth, physically. But just as surely as we do that physical eating, we have a spiritual feast. Because Jesus feeds us with his very body and blood. In the Passover meal, I remind you, the Jews were able to eat the sacrificial animal. Well, brothers and sisters, in the Lord's Supper, we who believe in that only Savior Jesus, we are fed with him, the true Passover lamb. This is not appreciated in broader evangelical Christianity. Of course, has no problem with the remembrance part, no trouble believing that in the Lord's Supper we're to remember the sacrifice at the cross. Christians have little trouble believing that we are supposed to be reassured of our salvation as we remember his sacrifice. But refreshed by eating Christ's body and drinking his blood? That sounds, of course, like cannibalism. And therefore, many Christians simply reject this idea. But it's not a Roman Catholic idea. And it's not our, you know, Reformed Calvinistic invention either. Jesus himself teaches that he feeds believers with his body and blood. And I get those words from John 6. You can turn there with me, friends, for a moment. We'll read a few verses here, starting with John 6:51. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They don't like the idea of cannibalism at all. So they're stumbling over this teaching from the Lord. But notice what he says in response. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now, someone will be quick to point out that John 6 is not about the Lord's Supper. You don't read any, you know, meal here with the disciples. It's not yet Good Friday. They're not having Passover, anything like that. Very true. But, brothers and sisters, let's try to appreciate the very emphatic point that Jesus makes here. That we cannot have life in him at all. Unless we feed upon him. Unless we eat his body and drink his blood. Now, again, it's not physical eating. But even as some of the Jews in that crowd objected to the Lord's cannibalistic language, he went on to say, as we just read, he went on to say, we must eat his body, true food, and drink his blood, true drink, if we are to have eternal life. Jesus first gave his flesh for the life of the world at the cross. But see, he continues to give us his body and blood for our spiritual nourishment. And that's the point here in John 6. He gives us himself as real food. Spiritual food, but nevertheless, real food. Food for the soul, unto eternal life. Now, how does he feed us with himself? Well, in the first place, through the gospel. It's not even through the Lord's Supper that he feeds us with himself, right? In the first place, it's through the gospel, through the word of his grace. Let's read on, verse 60. In John 6, verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, this cannibalistic teaching, they didn't like it either. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. the flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The disciples had a hard time with the Lord's teaching, but then he lets them know that he's going to ascend to the Father. And yet, his people are still to eat him, even when he's gone. You see, that's really what he's getting at there. How are you going to eat his flesh and drink his blood when he's gone back to the Father? Well, it's possible, friends, because we're not talking about a physical feeding on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, but a spiritual feeding through faith. Faith in his word, which he says is spirit and life. The Holy Spirit feeds us with Christ by means of the gospel, the words of Jesus, but also by means of the Lord's Supper. Question 77. Now, you don't have to look there with me again, but let me just remind you of the question. 77 in the Catechism says, "Where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup?" And so John 6 is a great passage, and I think you can see why it applies, you know, in a more general way. But question 77 is getting at the supper in particular. Where in connection with this sacrament, the Lord's Supper, eating bread and drinking wine, does Jesus assure us that he really gives us his body and blood? Well, answer 77 goes on to explain that Jesus made this promise in the very words of institution. He gave the disciples bread and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." You read it from Matthew 26 earlier. Then he gave them the cup of wine and he said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant." There are different views as to the meaning of those words. This is my body, this is my blood. But we understand the Lord to be making a promise. A promise to feed us with more than bread and wine. A promise to feed us with himself, with his very body and blood, true food and drink. In the church, we often call the Lord's Supper communion. In fact, many of your Bibles, older versions, would translate the word koinonia. It's oftentimes fellowship. You heard about this last Sunday. Koinonia can mean fellowship, you know, sharing in something together. That's where we get the word communion for the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. But this meal, brothers and sisters, the meal, the Lord's Supper, is not especially about our communion or our sharing merely in these earthly elements of bread and wine. As Paul says very clearly, in this meal, we have communion, we have participation in the body and blood of Christ. You see, do you appreciate the point? We are not just remembering, but we're to receive Christ. And we're to be refreshed with his very body and blood by faith. Brothers and sisters, make it your communion practice not only to remember the Lord's sacrifice for your reassurance, but also to refresh your souls by actually feeding, again, not physically, but spiritually feeding upon the true Passover lamb. Jesus really means to feed us with himself through his word and through this sacrament. And the only way for us to do that eating is by faith. And so we conclude with this point number 3 tonight. The only way to feed upon Christ is by faith, which involves resting in his work and receiving the Lord by the Spirit. The only way to feed upon Christ is by faith, which involves resting in his work and receiving the Lord by the Spirit. Since the supper is a means of grace, it is appropriate for us to focus on what Christ intends to do for his redeemed people in this sacrament. And I just remind you, what he means to do through this sacred meal is not only remind us of his sacrifice, but reassure us of our salvation and refresh us by feeding us with his very body and blood. But if this is what Jesus intends to do for us on his side in the supper, it is right, it is in fact necessary for us to consider how we receive his work, how we receive his gifts. Of course, brothers and sisters, there's only one way to receive it. It is by faith alone. And the Catechism beautifully captures this truth. Number 76, what does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and drink his poured out blood? So on our end, see, what are we doing? Eating. What is this activity? This spiritual kind of eating. Notice answer 76. It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ and in this way to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, there's more, but we'll think about that for just a moment here. When we believe the gospel, we're not merely to believe that things happened, life, death, and resurrection of Christ. No, we are to rest in what he has done for sinners. Right? The demons believe that he lived, died, and rose again. That doesn't mean they're saved. True faith is about not just knowing that story, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but resting in that work he's done for us. True faith is a matter of renouncing all dependence on the work we do, so that we rest entirely upon the work that Christ has done for us. That's what the Catechism's getting at there in answer 76. And so in the Lord's Supper, friends, our faith should be operating in this way. Not just remembering, but resting. Humbly resting in our Lord's suffering and death for the forgiveness of all our sins unto eternal life. One last bit of the Catechism. Answer 76 goes on to say, but it means more. Okay, now listen. To feed upon Christ is not only a matter of resting in his work by faith, it is also a matter of receiving Jesus himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where 76 concludes. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are governed by one soul. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross to make us his own. He ransomed us with his blood in order to make us his special possession, to make us his body. But he sends his Spirit into our hearts so that we may possess him as well. The Holy Spirit dwells in Jesus. He also dwells in you believers. And the Holy Spirit unites us to our Savior King, the head of the church. Now you may wonder, what does all this mystical stuff have to do with the Lord's Supper? Everything. In the supper, we physically feed on bread and wine. The only way for you to feed spiritually on Christ is by faith. Resting in his work and receiving him. But listen, the reason we can actually receive him, the bread of heaven, is that his Spirit powerfully works through word and sacrament to strengthen our union with Christ, our head. How better could Jesus impress on us that he gives us himself, graciously gives us abundant life in himself, than by assuring us through the Lord's Supper that he gives us his very body and blood as true food and drink for our spiritual nourishment. Beloved, believe those words. This is my body. This is my blood. And trust that the Spirit of God is truly feeding you with Christ, strengthening you, members of his body, to grow up into him, the head of the church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.